Welcome to the FBCLB podcast, where you'll find the preaching of Dave Delaney, pastor of the First Baptist Church of Long Beach. Thanks for listening.
Job, Miss Faith. Wow, way to go. Psalms chapter 32 tonight. Psalms chapter 32 is where we're going to turn. Psalms chapter 32, and these last few weeks we've hung out. Psalms 30, Psalms 31. And now tonight, Psalms chapter 32. If you found your place, stand with me. If you are able and willing, out of respect for the reading of God's Word, Psalms chapter 32. And let's stand together. David, in this season of his life, is really experiencing what we would understand as the disciplinary hand of God, providentially at work in his heart and life. Man, whom the Lord loves, he chastens. That's what we've talked about. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens. And God moves us, God guides us, God directs us to himself. Man, Psalms chapter 30, David was feeling that hand of correction in his heart and in his life. And we said, man, God is a parent who never over-disciplines, but God does discipline. God never over-disciplines, but God does discipline. He disciplines us to bring us back to himself. Man, that correction from Psalms 30 led to that conviction in Psalms 31. Man, the correction from Psalms 30 led David to this place of conviction in Psalms 31. And we spent time last week talking about this idea of shame. And several of you met me at the door last week and said, Pastor, that's exactly what I needed to hear. I've been wrestling with this idea of shame for so long. And I tell you that to say this, man, you aren't alone in that. You aren't alone in that. And even the psalmist David wrestling with shame about stuff from his past. But David doesn't just wrestle with the sting of shame. Man, David finds strength over the shame because David learned the principle that we do not have to hide from God, but that we can in fact hide in God. And my life is hid with Christ in God. That's what Paul said. My life is hid with Christ in God. We don't have to hide from him. We can hide in him. There is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus our Lord. No condemnation for us. Man, so David feels the hand of correction. David feels the sting of conviction. And now Psalm number 32, Psalm 32, David continuing that same idea about this discipline in his life from a loving God. Psalm 32 about confession. Psalm 32 about confession. And this is the idea I want to drive home tonight. This is the idea. I know we have a lot going on tonight, but just hang with me for 20, 25 minutes. Hang with me. This is the idea. Confession begins when blame shifting ends. Confession begins when blame shifting ends. See, as long as we're pushing it off, as long as we're saying it's somebody else's fault, as long as we're saying, well, I wouldn't have if they wouldn't have. Well, I did because she did this. I only said that because he said this to me first. As long as that's the approach, then real confession is not being had and real freedom isn't being found. Man, David goes from the correction in his life from a loving God to the conviction felt. The conviction felt in his heart, doesn't have to hide from, can hide in. To now tonight, the confession. Look with me, verse number 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For the day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. Verse 5. Now here's the confession. For I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin, Selah. Man, so now here, verse 6 to the end, the victory that David feels in his life the defeating of this sin through confession in his life. Verse 6, "For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely the floods of great waters, they shall not come nigh unto him. Man, thou art my hiding place, and thou shalt preserve me from trouble, and thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance." Selah. Verse 8, the narrative changes. You see the tenses change. Verse 1 to verse 7, David talking to God. Verse 8 to verse 11, God talking to David. "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go, and I will guide thee with mine eye. Be not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about." Verse 11, "Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous." How long has it been since you've been glad in the Lord? How long has it been since you've been glad in the Lord? "Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous. Shout for joy." Don't whisper it. Shout for joy. Don't just talk about it. "Shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart." Our Heavenly Father, use your word tonight, we ask. And in your Son's name we pray. And all the church says, amen. You may be seated. The word blessed at the very beginning of the chapter, verse number 32, or verse number 31. I'm going to get it right. Chapter 32, verse 1, verse 2, the word blessed is more than happy. Sometimes you'll see the word blessed, sometimes you'll see it associated with just happiness or contentment, but it's more than happiness, it's more than contentment. It's actually this profound sense of fulfillment. It's probably better understood in our world today as complete satisfaction. Complete purpose, complete satisfaction. David is saying, "I have found blessedness. I have found complete satisfaction. I have found full satisfaction, full contentment. I mean, all the way up to the brim, happiness in my heart. I have found this. Blessed is he." I have found this where? I have found this because blessed is he. I found it because my transgression, verse 1, because my transgression is forgiven. And so three ideas from this passage about how we learn this kind of complete fulfillment, this full satisfaction in our hearts and in our lives. Man, number one, notice the sin that is covered. David uses four words to describe his sin. We won't open all of the words tonight, but you can at least see them. Look at verse number 1, the word transgression. Look at verse number 1, the word sin. That's the second one. Look at verse number 3, the word iniquity. And look at the fourth one in verse number 2, the word guile. All four words David is using to describe the sin that God has been running him down in. I don't know if this is the sin of Bathsheba. I don't know if this is the sin of numbering the people. I don't know if this is the sin of failed parenting. I don't know what sin this is exactly. We aren't told. But we know that God, for the last three chapters, has been bringing this hand of discipline into David's life and is running David down in this sin. And now David, here at the end, at the turning from the sin, at the finding forgiveness of sin, David turning from it, he isn't calling his sin just a mistake. He isn't calling his sin just an error, a failure. Well, nobody's perfect. He isn't just justifying off. He isn't just rationalizing, self-justifying his sin. David's owning it, acknowledging it, admitting it. Man, the transgression, stepping over the line, going out of bounds. The word sin, to miss the mark, to come up short. The word iniquity, to twist, to pervert. The word guile, to deceive, to be dishonest, to be openly deceptive. Man, blessed is the man, David says, blessed is the man that even though he went out of bounds, blessed is the man that even though he missed the mark, blessed is the man that even though he came up short, blessed is the man that even though he was twisting and deceiving and was dishonest, blessed is the man that even though he was double-tongued and two-faced, blessed is the man that even though he was this, he has been forgiven. And blessed is the man that even though he had transgression and sin and iniquity and guile, that he has been forgiven of it. Blessed is the man whose sin is forgiven, whose sin is covered. That's number one, whose sin is covered. Two things about the covering of sin. Notice where? Notice the description of David's heart. Notice the discipline of the hand of God. The description of David's heart, and then the discipline from the hand of God. You see this in verse 3, you see it in verse 4. David talking about himself now. When I kept silence. David's talking about the time where he was trying to hide his sin. He's trying to cover his sin. He doesn't want anyone to know his sin. But how many of you know, let's just take the sin of Bathsheba, if that's the sin he's talking about in particular here. How many of you know, man, the whole town knew about the sin of Bathsheba. Man, Joab knew about the sin. Nathan knew about the sin. The servants in the castle, they knew about the sin. Bathsheba, she knew about the sin. All of her servants in her house, they knew about the sin. Man, David tried to keep it silent. But how many of you know, man, your sin cannot be kept silent. Man, be sure your sin will find you out. David says, I tried to keep it in. I tried to hide it. I tried to ball it up. I tried to pretend like nothing was wrong. I tried to mask it, but I couldn't mask it. In fact, notice, David says, I tried to keep silent, but look, my bones waxed old. Man, and one commentator says about that, David, he said, David's bones turned to powder. David is saying, I lacked strength. I lacked the will. I lacked the desire to even get out of bed. I didn't even want to move. My bones waxed old. I just wanted to lay there and wallow in my own self-pity. That's what he's saying. I didn't even want to do anything. I didn't have the strength to do anything. Man, David trying to cover his sin. Man, what's he doing? His bones waxed old. Look at verse 3, the same verse. Man, through my roaring all the day long. Man, David was a singer, but this wasn't rejoicing. This was roaring. Man, this wasn't David going through the castle whistling and content and happy and joy-filled and rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. That's not what David's doing here. David is edgy. David is grumpy. David is discontent. David is cranky. Why? Because he's trying to hide his sin. Man, when I tried to silence it, when I tried to hide it, when I tried to cover it up, my bones waxed old. I became roaring and not rejoicing. Look at verse 4. Man, for day and night thy hand. Talking about God. Man, for day and night thy hand. God's hand was heavy on me. Spurgeon, writing about this verse, says, better to have the world on your shoulders like Atlas than to have God's hand on your heart. Man, better to carry the weight of the world than to feel the weight of God's hand on your heart because you know that you have sinned against Almighty God. Day and night thy hand was heavy on me, just weighing me down, holding me down. This is that correction, that discipline from Psalms 30, weighing down the heart of David. Man, look what it does in his life. My moisture, verse 4, I'm in verse 4, look at it with me. My moisture is turned into drought of summer. Hard for us to understand this, but in an agricultural society, they would have completely understood this. Man, if there was no water, there was no food. If there was no water, there was no plant. If there was no water, there was no crops. If there was no water, there was no place to feed and water the livestock. Listen, if there was no water, there was no life. What's David talking about his own condition? What's David talking about his own heart? David's talking about his own heart. That's what he's talking about here. I felt that disciplinary hand of God in my life. Man, I dried up. There was no life. There was no joy. Hear me. There was no growth. I was like a drought in the summer. Man, the sin that is covered, man, how it plays out in our heart, how it plays out from the hand of God. Not just that, not just the sin covered. Look at verse 5, the sin that is confessed. Man, the sin, number one, the sin that is covered. Number two, the sin that is confessed. Dave, listen, this is the good news from Psalm 32. David is saying, this is where I was. Past tense, not where I am today, but this is where I was. When I was trying to cover my sin, when I was trying to hide my sin, when I was on the run from God, when the hound of heaven was on my heels, when that was me, let me tell you where I was. I was dried up. I was lifeless. I was weak and frail. I didn't even want to see the sun. I just wanted to lay in bed. My bones turned to powder. I was cranky. I was grumpy. I was edgy. I was roaring and not rejoicing. Man, but listen, the sin that is confessed, verse 5, I acknowledged, past tense, I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my heart. Almost all the same words. Do you see that? Iniquity, transgression, sin. Almost all the same words used in verse 5 as used early on. Almost all the same. Man, I acknowledged my sin. Confession, listen, confession begins when blame shifting ends. Confession in this is at least three things. Confession is at least three things. And I want to talk you through them just quickly tonight, then we'll end on the positive. Confession is at least three things. Number one, confession is acknowledging sin with your mind. Confession is at least acknowledging sin with your mind. Look at verse 5. I acknowledged my sin. I recognized my sin. I saw my sin. I identified my sin. I saw it. I acknowledged it. I identified it. The acknowledgement of sin in your or with your mind. The looking at it, seeing it for what it is, and identifying it as sin. I know this is wrong. I know I shouldn't have said that. I know I shouldn't have looked at that. I know I shouldn't have gone here. I know I shouldn't have said that. The acknowledgement of sin in your mind. Number two, the admission of sin with your mouth. The acknowledgement of sin in your mind. Understanding it, knowing it to be sin, coming to know it and see it as sin. Man, thinking God's thoughts after God thinks them and says them. I acknowledge it with my mind. That is wrong. Shouldn't do it. And then the admission of sin with your mouth. Listen, confession involves at least two things, your mind and your mouth. Your mind and your mouth. Man, the admission of sin with your mouth. Look at halfway through verse 5. I said, circle those words. I said it. Man, but wasn't it enough for David to just acknowledge it? Wasn't it enough for David just to know it? Wasn't it enough for David just to go, yep, and internally or mentally process, yep, that was wrong, shouldn't have done it. Wasn't that enough for David? Man, not for a full confession. Man, not for the stopping of blame shifting. Man, the full confession, acknowledge it with your mind. That's wrong. I see it as you see it. I call the shots as you call the shots. God, I identify it as sin, and now I am making confession of it. Man, David is saying, listen, I acknowledged my sin and I have admitted my sin. Man, David is taking, look here. David is taking full responsibility of sin. David doesn't go, but I acknowledge my sin. I said I confess my transgression to the Lord. But listen, if she wouldn't have been on the house bathing in the middle of the day, then it wouldn't have happened. He doesn't say that, does he? Man, David, you say, well, he's only 20% liable, but he's owning and admitting 100%. He's taking full responsibility. And this is one of the reasons why we stumble at confession. This is one of the reasons why we come up short of finding that full forgiveness from God. This is one of the reasons we trip at acceptance over the sin and transgressions of our life. Man, because we want to say it's him, it's her. It wasn't me. They said they were in the wrong too. They messed up too. He did wrong too. Instead of just saying, hey, listen, this is between me and God. I transgressed. I sinned. There's iniquity. I went out of bounds. I came up short. I missed the mark. Man, I was the one who twisted. I was the one who was two-faced. And I am owning it and I am accepting it. Man, David here admitting it with his mouth, acknowledging with his mind. Number three, at least three. I told you, confession is at least three things. Number three, this is the good one. All right, hang in there. This is the good one.
Here's the acceptance of forgiveness. Look at the last part of verse 5. And thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. And thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. If we confess our sin, 1 John, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Man, David receives the acceptance. Man, David did as the Lord expected. David did as the Lord required. And God was faithful to forgive. David did as the Lord expected. And David did as the Lord required. And God was faithful to forgive. And David received the acceptance of forgiveness. Man, I can't tell you how many people I know. They're sorry. They're remorseful. They're full of shame. They're full of guilt. And they feel bad for what they've done. But they never receive, they never accept the acceptance of forgiveness from God. They never walk free because they're always beating themselves up. Well, I can never be. I can never do. I can never have. And they're always beating themselves up. Man, there is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Man, David accepts this full forgiveness from God. The more accepted I know I am in Christ, the easier it is for me to admit that I've done wrong. The more accepted I know I am in Christ, the easier it is for me to admit that I've done wrong. Let's just think about this. Just walk through this with me. Let's think about this as it relates to our children. Let's just think about it as it relates to our children. A child who knows dad loves him, mom loves him unconditionally, no matter what, that North Star type love, that love that is never going to move, never going to waver, doesn't matter where, doesn't matter what, doesn't matter when, dad loves you, mom loves you. Man, that child who knows that about mom or dad, they know mom and dad love. Mom and dad may not always be pleased, but mom and dad always love. Mom and dad may not always condone, but mom and dad always love. Mom and dad may not always brag about, but mom and dad always love. The child who knows that finds it easy to open up about the wrongs that they've done. Man, the little kid colored on the wall. Here comes dad in the house. Who colored on the wall? The kid is holding the crown. She did it. Immediate thought. First thing, blame somebody else. She did it. Well, little Billy, you know, you're holding the crown. Yeah, but I didn't do it. I was just holding the crowns. I was just holding them for her. I was just helping the color palette. I wasn't actually, she did it. Man, they will hold fast. How many know, man, that little boy or girl, that little angel that you call, that little angel, man, they can turn into a little demon really fast. Man, but sometimes you get right down in their face, right? You get right down in their face. Listen, you know dad loves you. You know mom loves you. But you colored on the wall. Didn't you? And you have, and I have, right? Man, I've got teenage boys in my house, so I'm meeting the hard, resistant will. How many of you know what I'm talking about? All the veteran parents in the room, you're like, been there, done that, praying for you. You know, I'm meeting that hard, resistant will right now. Man, when they were little, just get down right in their face. You know, you get them by their little cheeks, and you just look them right in the face and say, you colored on the wall, didn't you? They just start crying. It break. Hey, daddy loves you, mom loves you. Man, you're getting a swat on your bottom. Spare the rod, spoil the child. Hey, you're getting a swat on your bottom, but I love you. But don't you ever color my wall again. Man, where there's full acceptance, man, where I know dad, mom love me, I know that. Man, it's easy to be open about the wrongs. It's easy to be open about the mistakes. It's easy to ask for forgiveness where I feel like mom and dad are going to guillotine chop my head off because I messed up, because I did wrong. No, I'm going to hold to that lie. I'm going to hold on to that lie. I'm never going to break down. Not me. It was her. You're holding the crown. It was her. It wasn't me. She's not even that tall. It was her. Man, now I've got to discipline you because you're lying. Well, why the lie?
Why the hiding? Man, the same thing happened in Genesis chapter 3. Why the hide? Why the lie? Well, God, it wasn't my idea to eat the fruit. It was the woman that you gave me her. That was your fault, really, God. It was really your fault that I did that. And man, the woman, it wasn't me, it was the serpent. The serpent was the one who said it, man. And then like the old preacher said, man, Adam blamed Eve. Eve blamed the snake, and the snake had no legs to stand on. Man, when we're blame shifting, we're not confessing. Man, when we're blame shifting, we're not finding forgiveness. We're not receiving the acceptance. And this is one thing that really blows our mind, right? It really blows our mind. But God never has had a moment where he's gone, you know what, I'm just really fed up with you. I'm really tired of you always coloring on the wall. Get out of the house. God's never said that. God's never done that. God's never had a fed up moment. God's never over-disciplined. Even this chapter 30, chapter 31, chapter 32, is not an over-discipline from God. Man, it's a loving hand of discipline in the life of David. It's a weighing down in David's heart. David the one hiding. David the one running from God. God the one loving David, moving in David's heart. Man, bringing circumstances into David's life to cause him to feel the weight of the sin in order to move him back. Man, there is a sorrow that leadeth thee to repentance. There is a sorrow in our hearts. There is a discipline in our life that moves us to say, you know what? You're right. It was me. And that's what's happening in David's life. Listen, David is willing to ask for forgiveness because David knows he is accepted. Do you know that tonight? He said, Pastor, you don't know what I did. It doesn't matter. God knows, and the offer still stands. God knows, and the offer still stands. Man, the sin that was covered, man, in the heart, from the hand, man, the sin that was confessed, it was acknowledged with his mind, it was admitted with his mouth, it was accepted in his heart. Man, he felt the freedom of forgiveness. Verse 6 to verse 11 then, the sin that is conquered, the sin that is conquered. So what I mean by that point is I do not mean that in this life that we will ever fully conquer sin. We never become sinless. But as we grow in our relationship with the Lord, we should sin less and less. We never become sinless in the sense that sin is absent from us. We never become sinless, but we should, as we grow in our relationship with the Lord, we should sin less. Less and less in our lives. Now, be ye holy as I am holy. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Move in the direction of God, and being moved in the direction of God, following Christ's example, man, ye become like Christ in that way. Man, so we should have a desire to conquer sin. And that's really what the back half of this chapter is. It's David's strategy, if you want to call it that, of how David learned to conquer sin moving forward. Look at verse 6. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee, unto God. You pray to God in time of trouble, and surely the floods of great waters shall not come nigh unto him. Man, here's how we conquer sin. Number one, pray for wisdom. Pray for wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Man, if anyone needs to know what they should do in a set situation, in a certain circumstance, man, just ask God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Sometimes we get ourselves into trouble because we've failed to ask God to keep us out of trouble. Man, sometimes we walk right into trouble because we've ignored all the escape routes, all the exits off the highway of trouble. Man, we walk ourselves into trouble because we ignore all the escapes that God has given us from trouble.
Man, the seasons in my life where I failed to have a regular quiet time with God, the seasons in my life where I failed to meditate on the scriptures, the seasons in my life where I failed to pray or read the Bible, the seasons in my life where I moved away from Bible teaching, the seasons in my life where that happened, those are generally the seasons when I'm moved from those things, from this relationship with God, growing the relationship, working out my salvation, moving closer to God instead of farther, when I moved away from that and more to just this, I got to do this, I got to go here, this kind of works-based mentality. When I moved to that, man, those are the seasons when I stumbled the most. Hey, hear me. Most temptation can be escaped if we just use common sense. Can I say that? Is that okay to say? Most temptation can be escaped if we just use common sense. Common sense. Man, common sense. When you hang out with her, when you go with him, when you go there, when you go to that place, when you turn on that show, when you jump on that social media site, when you engage with that employee in the office, when you go hang out with the buds after work, when you do that, what happens? Good things or bad things? Holiness or unholiness? Righteousness or unrighteousness? I don't know what it is for you. I'm just saying, sometimes escaping sin is not as difficult as we make it out to be. Oh, it's just so bad. It's so hard escaping sin. Oh, man, I'm just really under the struggle of temptation. Really, stay away from her and you will not have that struggle any longer. Man, delete your number from your phone book and you will not have that trouble anymore. Cut off that friendship and you will not have that struggle, that problem anymore. Decide, I'm not going to hang out there. I'm not going to go here. I'm not going to drink this. I'm not going to enjoy it. I'm not going to do these things. Man, just decide that ahead of time. And man, most of the temptation goes away. Man, somebody calls the office, ask Betty, my wife, they call the office. They say, man, if it's a lady, she says, I'd like to talk to the pastor. I go, wonderful. We're going to have Miss Betty in there and my wife in there. I'd be happy to talk with you with Miss Betty and my wife there. Yeah, but I really want to talk to you. It's very, very confidential. Wonderful. You can talk with me and my wife and Miss Betty. Yeah, but I really wanted to talk to you by yourself. Too bad. So sad. I'm married and my wife can beat me up. So that's pretty much a no-brainer for me, right? You say, well, don't you love ladies by themselves who need counseling, they need attention? Not that much. I mean, you need counseling, that attention that much, call Amanda. Man, you need counseling, that attention that much, man, call one of these godly ladies around the room. Don't call me. Don't call me. I'm running from that kind of trouble. I ain't trying to get in that kind of trouble. Man, can a man take fire into his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Then you're asking for trouble. Man, sometimes we make it more difficult than it has to be. Because we just don't use, hear me, because we just don't use common sense. Now, you better catch up with me on this point, because I'll hang out on this point for the rest of the night. Okay, we'll just hang out. Sometimes, you know what I'm talking about. It's just common sense. Like, I mean, he's gonna text you this weekend. Should you or should you not answer? Last time you answered, what happened? Nothing good, nothing godly, nothing holy. So why are you going to answer? Well, he's my friend and I would hurt his feelings. Man, better to lose your hand than to have your whole soul cast into the lake of hell. I'm pretty sure Jesus said something like that. Man, better to lose an eye than to have your whole body cast into the lake of fire. Better to go through life maimed. Man, better to do, man, fear not him that can destroy the body. Man, fear him that can destroy both the body and the soul in hell. And sometimes, listen, church, sometimes we just aren't smart. It's just not smart. Listen to how it plays out in Ephesians 5. Wherefore, be ye not unwise. Every teacher should have that verse plastered over the top of the door when the student comes in the room. Wherefore, be ye not unwise. But understanding what the fear of the Lord is. But understanding, rather, what the will of the Lord is. Man, listen, what is he saying? He's saying, do you want to know what God wants you to do? Do you want to know the will of God? Do you want to walk in the way of God? Then listen, don't be foolish.
Don't be foolish. Be wise. We would understand that as just use common sense.
1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 15. I speak as to wise men.
Man, that's a big assumption. Paul's making a huge assumption. He's saying, I'm speaking to you because I believe that in the end, you want to use common sense. I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say.
Barnhouse on this point, this is a great one, Brother Bumacott. He says this, 90% of the will of God for your life is found from the neck up.
90% of what God wants for you to do and what God wants for you to stay away from and the temptation that God wants for you to avoid, 90% can be determined and discovered. Man, if this from the neck up, if we would just engage common sense.
Man, pray for wisdom. Number two, hide in his work. Too much time on that one, but you weren't helping me, so I had to hang out there a little bit longer. Number two, hide in his work. Look at verse number 7. Look at all the personal pronouns. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about.
Man, what's David saying? Man, God is my hiding place. God is preserving me. God is compassing me about and giving me songs of deliverance. Question from that verse, who is doing all the work? Who's doing all the sheltering? Who's doing all the protecting? Who's doing all the hiding? Man, David is in hiding from. We talked about this last week. David is in hiding from God. David is hiding in God. David is not on the run from God. Man, scared of God. David is hiding in God.
Man, hiding from or hiding in? Colossians 3, verse 3. Your life is hid with Christ in God.
Paul says later, not I, but Christ that liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me.
Man, are you hiding from God? Or are you hiding in God? Well, what's that mean, Pastor? What does it mean, hide from, hide in? Man, hide in God with Christ. Man, God treated Jesus the way that he did not deserve, so he could treat me the way I do not deserve.
Man, God treated Jesus as a sinner so he could treat me as a son. Man, God treated Jesus as the unrighteous so that he could put on me Christ's righteousness. Fully accepted, fully loved, fully known, and fully forgiven. Hide in Christ.
Man, pray for wisdom. Hide in his work.
Hey, listen, if it was your salvation, or rather, if it was your work to get you saved, if it was your morality that causes God to love you, if it was your religiosity that gets God's, you know, favors, man, then we're all in trouble. We're all in trouble. Man, there are none righteous. No, not one. God loved you on your worst day. God loved you on your worst day. We like to think of God loving us on our best day. You know, when we're all nice and pretty and clean and neat and, you know, everything, all the hair's right in the perfect place. And God loves me on my best day. God loved you on your worst day. Man, God never goes, I'm just done with this. I'm just fed up with this. You always do that. No. Man, fully accepted, hide in, not from. Man, run toward, not away. Running toward, not away.
Man, pray for wisdom, hide in his work. Number three, obey his word. This is verse 8, 9, and 10. God answers David, now I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. I will guide you with mine eye.
Man, listen, we obey God not to be forgiven, but we obey God because we are forgiven. We don't obey to be accepted. We obey because we are accepted. We don't obey God in order to earn God's happiness. No. God has already smiled on us when he sent his son to die on the cross for us. We do not obey God to be forgiven. We obey God because we are forgiven. And as we obey God, and as we seek to follow God, and as we seek to know God, well, then God leads us away from temptation, away from sin, and he leads us toward holiness. Man, Psalms 119, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path.
Man, then David gives us this really neat image. Verse 9, Man, be ye not as. Okay, that's him saying, don't be like the horse or the mule, which has no understanding, in whose mouths must be held with bit and bridle, lest they come near. Man, many sorrows shall be to the wicked. Who's the wicked? The wicked is the person who is stubborn. The wicked is the person who is like the mule. The wicked is the person who knows what God's word says and refuses to follow God's word. I know what your word says. I know what your word asks. I see what you are asking of me in your word, and yet I do not want to go that way. Man, David is saying, obeying God's word, there's two responses to God's word. It's either stubborn or submissive. It's either stubborn or submissive. That's it. And that's the image that David is using when he talks about the mule. David is saying, do not be stubborn like the mule. Do not be stubborn like the mule who refuses to go the right way. Do not be stubborn like the mule who refuses to obey God. Why? Because verse 10, because many sorrows shall be. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked. Many sorrows shall be to the person who is stubborn toward God's word. Man, when we know God's word, and we are stubborn toward it, we receive, hear me, misery. Bones are old, turning to powder, no strength, no song, just cranky and grumpy and roaring, no rejoicing, no song, no pop in your step, no smile on your face, no joy of the Lord is my strength. None of that. And just roaring and weak and cranky and grumpy. Man, why? Because I'm full of misery. Why? Because I was stubborn to God's word. Man, we know the word. We're stubborn toward the word. What do we receive? We receive misery. Many sorrows there be. First response, stubborn. Second response to God's word, submissive. Look at the second response. When God instructs me, when God shows me, when God guides me with his word, look at the back half of verse 10, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy. Man, the person who is stubborn to God's word, misery. But the person who is submissive to God's word, what do they receive? Mercy. The person who is stubborn, they receive misery. The person who is submissive, they receive mercy. Man, last one, verse 11, give him worship. Man, David says, you want to learn to conquer sin. Man, pray for wisdom. Want to learn to conquer sin. Hide in his work. Want to conquer sin. Obey his word. Do you want to conquer sin? Verse 11, give him worship. Be glad in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord. We said this in the beginning. Praise is telling others about God. Worship is telling God about God. Praise is me standing up in front of you saying, listen, we serve a good and great God, and forget not all of his benefits, and look at all the ways that God has been good to us. Man, praise is me telling you about God. Worship is me telling God about God. God, thank you for your mercy. God, thank you for your forgiveness. God, thank you for your love. Thank you for your infinite, unmeasurable love in my life. Fully accepted. Fully loved, fully bought, because my life is hid with Christ in God. Confession begins when blame shifting ends. Confession begins when blame shifting ends. Hey, let's stop trying to pass the blame and let's stand in front of God, acknowledging with our mind, admitting with our mouth, but accepting with our heart the full forgiveness from God Almighty. There's freedom found there. There's joy found there. There's happiness found there. There's life found there. Let's stand together for prayer, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Father, we thank you for your word. Father,